Family. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Overcoming?
Yes.
Victorious?
Yes.
Standing in faith?
Yes.
Praise God. Got the right group. Go ahead and sit down. Thursday, Brother Richard and I made a run to Norman, Oklahoma, where Victory Church had donated a beautiful piano. Brother Richard, take a second and let the people hear their new toy. Has anybody got a candelabra? And that was with the lid closed. But it's time for saints to step up. I want to see the organ occupied. I want to see somebody on the drums. And we'll continue to use the keyboard and the other instrumentation. But there's somebody that has an anointing to play the piano, and we'll begin to set in and add more to the praise team and to our worship of the mighty God of all creation. The men of valor are putting notes in your hand. And the message today is stepping into faith. When in 1978, on a Sunday afternoon of December the 10th, we had our first afternoon Bible study, because for the first, I don't even remember how long, we met at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoons and had Bible study at the Wheelis Lane Missionary Baptist Church. And we went through a number of facilities, all the time believing that God has something better for us. And will continue to bless us with His goodness and mercy. But the Lord said to me, teach my people faith. Romans 14:23. Without faith, or whatsoever proceedeth not from faith, is sin. He's saying whatever you can produce without faith is sin. And a lot of people are producing hate, envy, strife, jealousy, vain imaginations, discord. Are y'all warm or cold in here? Comfortable, everybody? I thought so. I'm freezing. As believers, we've got to ask ourselves, are we living as sense realm Christians failing to press into His will? Or are we living as it is written, believers? There was a 19-year-old shoe clerk named Dwight. And he worked in a Chicago department store selling shoes. And one day a customer said to him, "The world is yet to see what one man sold out to God can do." Dwight Moody pressed into God's will. We have the Moody Institute, the Moody Church, so many things. During his life, he was able to reach over 3 million people in crusades. At his death, 600,000 persons had been led to the Lord through his ministry. And yet, it remains to be seen what an individual fully dedicated to God can do. Dwight went from shoe clerk to minister of the gospel. Leonard Sly was a Ohio shoe clerk, and he went from Leonard Sly shoe clerk to Roy Rogers movie star. Just because you start on your knees don't mean you have to end up there. In life, faith teaches you how to take hold, to lay hold, to seize with urgent force the unseen things of the promises of God. That which is reality in the spirit realm can become reality in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, with His stripes you were healed. You can lay hold of that spiritual truth and bring it into full manifestation in the natural realm, the earthly realm. In following God, God's will is the soil the anointing grows in. God's will is the soil the anointing grows in. You want an anointing in your life? Line up with His will. The plan of God and the will of God are inseparable. You have the written word, which is God's plan. People say, "I just wish I knew what God's will was." Can you read? Your New Testament is God's will. His will and His plan are inseparable. He wills for you to be blessed. He wills for you to be born again. He wills for you to walk in health. He wills for you to be a world changer. An individual cannot follow their will and be in God's plan. The two are incompatible until you totally surrender your will to His plan. If you follow the plan that the New Testament lays out for you, your will become His will, because you align with what He has set in motion. God said, "Light be," and start a cycle of day and night, and it's been unchanged. God said to man, "I want you to rule and reign in the earth," and His will has been unchanged. God still has a plan for you to rule and reign in the earth. Being in His will causes you to receive the benefits of His will. The benefits of the will of God are blessings evermore. Every promise in the book is mine, we used to sing. Every chapter, every verse, every line. How many of those promises do you know and actively pursue? When talking to the Lord about what to bring today, He took me to a familiar passage, 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I said, Father, I've been there many times with this congregation. He said, break it down. And of course, I went in my dance stance. Let's break this verse down line by line. While we make the conscious decision not to look at, examine, or take into consideration the things of the physical realm, that's a conscious decision you have to make. I'm not going to look at the bills. I'm not going to look at the terror that strikes by night. I'm not going to look at the doctor's report. I'm not going to look at the banker's report, the lawyer's report. I'm going to look at what God said, because if I fix my attention on what God said, I can bring it out of the spiritual and into the natural. Amen. The things which appear to the senses, things that oppose or violate a promise of God, I will not look at, meditate, or allow in my conscious thought life. But we choose to look at the things God has promised. A lot of people stumble over that. We look at things that are unseen. What is unseen? Your health until it manifests. Your wealth until it manifests. Your new house until it manifests. Pastor, I don't know if it's God's will for me to have a house. It is written, your houses will be filled with wealth. If my house is going to be filled with wealth, I've got to have a house. But we choose to look at the things which God has promised. You can look at a promise of God long enough and you'll start seeing you with it. You know you've done that before. You went by the dealership and you saw that new vehicle. And you begin to picture yourself behind the wheel. You may have never opened the door, but you can see yourself enjoying that thing because it's a fine ride. Now, it may be a Ford pickup or a Lamborghini, but if it's your heart's desire, you can see yourself with it. You walk by the jewelry counter, and you look at a Piaget or a Tag Heuer or Rolex, and you can see it on your wrist, and you know it would make you look more important if you had that. We choose to look at the things God has promised, but that have not yet to appear to the physical. This is learning to look at and for what our new covenant has promised to us that is still in check form, not yet manifested. When I read with his stripes, I was healed, that's a check that I write my name on. And then I present it to the bank of heaven and say, Father, I thank you for cashing this check. Your promise is a blank check. Now I've come to receive what that check promised. Amen. For the things seen, contactable by our five senses, are of the earthly realm, and they can change. If you can see it, touch it, feel it, taste it, smell it, it can change. But when you look into the eternal promises of God, they change not. the things, promise of God, we cannot touch with our five senses. They're of the spirit world, waiting to take form in the earthly realm. As 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has laid in store. If they're laid in store, there's a warehouse for the promises of God. James, if there's something in that warehouse with my name on it, I want it down here. Some people say, I can't wait till I get to heaven so I can this or that. I can't wait till I wake up to the promises that belong to me down here. Amen. They're laid in store there, waiting for me to grab hold of them with my faith and draw them into this realm of earthly reality. They already exist, just at a different level and stance. They're eternal, unchanging, ever the same, just like their author. So while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, they're not seen in their form, but they are seen in His promise. Find a promise, see yourself inheriting it, taking ownership of it, and enjoying it, and being fully assured that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. Abraham's life changed on that little dime. Are you convinced that what God has promised, He's able to perform, not in general, but for you? Many times believers can see someone else. Oh, I can see Lou with that. I can see Richard with that. I can see Damon with that. But I can't see me with that. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. If you learn to agree with His Word, you will see His Word manifest. He promised it. He will deliver what He promised. If you put demand on the promise. It is possible to live your entire born-again walk and never possess a promise of the things that already belong to you. Because you start singing, wouldn't it be wonderful if... No. If God said it, it is. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham had a problem telling the truth about wives. Abraham had a lot of problems in his life, in his marriage, with his family. But none of that mattered because he believed God. Now, if under law, believing God could make you righteous, what will it do under grace? It worked for Abraham. It'll work for you. Amen. Believe God. Take Him at His word. God, You said it. I believe it. Now I receive it as mine. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the prospered of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the anointed of the Lord. I am empowered for great works. Take ownership of what He has promised and then celebrate it before you see it. Well, Pastor, as soon as I see it, I'm going to start praising God everywhere. You may not see it until you start praising God. Because you've got to tell God, I think You're honest. I think you're trustworthy. I think you're faithful. So simply the fact that you said it gets my praise muscle active. Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees already? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. It will happen. Are you eagerly waiting for a promise of God to be manifest in your life? Have you laid hold of it, saying, God, you said it. That's all that matters. I claim it. 2 Corinthians says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm stepping into what he said, not because I can see it already done, not because I can see it coming, but because he said it. Walking towards the promised provision is faith. There's been a lot of wrongful teaching on what faith is and how to get strong faith and how to get more faith. And I was actually in a meeting with a group of ministers, and one of them says, you get more faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's not true. And a pastor sitting next to me said, yeah, that's what the Word says, Jude. I said, no. Read it again. It said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, because faith is simply trust. Faith and believing are not synonymous. Faith and trust are. Do you trust God with your health, with your wealth, with your future, with your eternity? It amazes me that some people can tell me they're trusting God's eternal salvation, but they can't believe in God supplying their need this week. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Conviction says, I have the title deed to it. A number of years ago, I was looking online at car dealers, and I saw a beautiful electric blue 69 Roadrunner 440 convertible. I called them and I talked to them about it. I bought it online. They sent me the title, and I held on to that title for a lengthy period until a truck convoy pulled up with my Roadrunner sitting on it. But I knew it was mine. I had a title to a 1969 Roadrunner. If I can believe in the internet enough to send them that kind of money. My first house didn't cost that much. Then can I believe in God who allowed the intelligence that created the internet? Are we living as sense realm Christians? Or are we one with God said believers? That's what faith is about. Well, Brother Jim, if I could see it, I could believe it. You do not know how many people have been destroyed and are now incapable of a faith walk because they wanted God to show them something. God, you do this by the first, and I'll believe in you. God, you heal me, and I'll believe in you. God, you give me this job, and I'll believe in you. God does not condescend to your unbelief. He was God before you came on the scene. He doesn't have to prove it to you. God is a take it or leave it God. Take my promise or leave it. It's up to you. But I will not be changed by you taking it or rejecting it. The just shall live by faith. The righteous walk by faith. The Word of God said it's impossible to please God without faith. Churchianity has made faith too difficult for some people. And it's really not difficult at all. Faith simply is, God, you said it, and I trust you that it's true. So I'm going to start celebrating it now so it can show up later. During that time where I sent my money off to a car dealership in Redding, California, if you had asked me, I'd tell you, I have a 1969 Roadrunner. Have you seen it yet? Well, I've seen pictures. How do you know it exists? I've got the title. I've got the title, with his stripes you were healed. I've got the title, my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. I've got the title, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've got the title to eternity with him. Because that which is born of God conquers the world. That which is born of God conquers the world. We vacate the things which are seen with the promises of things not yet seen. And once you start drawing out of heaven's warehouse simply because you found a verse that promised it, you develop a new boldness. You can't find a time when I will deny God's word. It's worked too many times for me. Now, as you know, I'm still in the process of possessing many promises. But I've possessed so many, you can't convince me it doesn't work. But a lot of people have missed out because they will not celebrate until they see. That's why you've got to look at the promise until you see yourself in that promise. You've done it already many times in your life, whether it was a new office chair that you wanted, a new car, a new truck, a new house, a new outfit. You could close your eyes and see yourself with it because it had become real to you. You wanted it bad. Do you want the promises of God that bad? That you can see yourself enjoying them before they manifest and then celebrate God's veracity, his honesty, his faithfulness by praising him for what you have the title to, but yet not yet possession of. The Bible said that praise quiets and stills the avenger because I can't listen to the devil telling me God's a liar while I'm celebrating God being truth. Make the conscious decision. I will not look at the problem. I will not look at the care. I will not look at the trouble. I'll look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Because my anointed Redeemer paid an awesome price at the cross to teach me how faith works. Before he was resurrected from the dead and the work completed, he said, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands do I commit my spirit." He was resurrected because he died in faith. He didn't raise himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised him. Why? Because he died on a promise. You will not forsake me, nor leave my body to corruption. Church, he taught us that you can trust God to the utmost with your utmost. And when you're out of the picture, dead and in the grave, that promise is still working to bring you out of that tomb. I don't want to see one of you miss out on the blessings and promises of God. Yes, I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen, and I continue to celebrate it. And some of you have come a long way since we began that declaration. And others of you are going to watch their example and possess the things that you desire in this life that God has promised. God's not stingy. With his promises or with his provision, he wants you to have things. He doesn't want things to have you. There is nothing that you can't do once you develop your trust in God to that level. We used to sing an old hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." What are you trusting God for? How have you determined to obey his word concerning that promise? Daddy, you said it. I accept it. I take ownership of it. And now I want to thank you for it. I want to celebrate that I have it now, so it can show up later. When that truck transport pulled up, lowered the gate and started rolling my car out, it was not any more real to me at that moment than it was when I got the title and it was mine. Get excited about the title you have to so many promises. And then celebrate it. Don't ask when. Don't ask how. Don't ask why. Celebrate. You said it, Daddy God. I accept that as my ownership. Now I take ownership of that promise and I praise you for it. That's not a hard thing to do. We've made faith so very hard, like we've got to grunt and groan and strain and work it up. No. Faith is a gift of God. It came as part of your salvation. The ability to be a grown-up came at birth. But that doesn't mean at birth they can walk and talk and do all of the things that they will as an adult. But the fact they have breath in their lungs says the day is coming. Oh, come on, church. You're listening better than you're letting on. The fact that God birthed you says faith belongs to you. Don't live your life not walking in what belongs to you. Because faith is your key to unlocking all the treasures of heaven. Trust God's word. Accept it as true. Celebrate it before you see it, and you will walk in it. Are you getting anything? There are ministers available to agree with you in prayer for whatever you need mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. What verse are you standing on for what you need? A lot of people want God to do this or do that, but they don't have a promise to stand on. If you want it, there's a promise that deals with it. Find the promise and pursue your trust in God for its manifestation. Daddy God, I thank you for this people. I thank you that we're learning to trust you and believe you more than ever before. Father, I thank you that I pastor a people of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, a people who have laid hold of your word and refuse to capitulate to anything less than God said. Father, I thank you that we walk in your truth, we talk in your truth, and we demonstrate your truth, and we celebrate it before we see it. For our eyes are fixed on the promise, not the problem. Thank you that you are faithful to do what you said. Thank you that you can be trusted. Thank you that we can lean heavily upon you and find relief. Now I call this people blessed, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed in their basket and blessed in their store. Everything they set their hand to prospers, and nothing shall be impossible for them. And every tongue that rises in judgment, condemnation, fleshly attitudes, or soulish prayer, I curse their actions, cast it down, and decree its null and void of effect. For whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. And the people said, Amen. If you desire prayer, ministers are waiting the opportunity to stand with you.